Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining HR Nightmares. This is season 3, episode 2, and we have a really special guest today. I'm Lisa Leith, and I'm joined here with
Amy Conway
and Beth Looney.
And we're going to have Beth introduce our special guest, but before we get started, just want to say, if you like what you are hearing, what you're watching on YouTube, make sure that you hit subscribe so you never miss a great episode from the ladies ever again at Leith HR Group. But let's jump right in, and Beth, I'm going to hand it over to you. Who have we got here?
All right, so we have, all the way from Charlotte, North Carolina, we've got Jarvis Harris here today, and he has been on the job as a Charlotte firefighter for 3 weeks officially.
Yes, brand new.
Yay, so we're congrats. Welcome.
So thank happy you, to see you. So I think one of the big things that why you're here today is to talk about just a different vantage point, I think, about you as a new job holder. So I think that it would be interesting to hear about your journey, how you became a Charlotte firefighter.
Okay. So I grew up, I'm from Wilmington, born and raised. And basically I've always had a dream to become a firefighter. Got hired on Charlotte Fire Department. Let me backtrack. I'm sorry. I apologize.
There's more to the story.
Yeah. I started with the Wilmington Fire Department in 2021. I was in their fire academy, but unfortunately, I didn't pass my EMT. So from there, I went to get my EMT certification on my own. And once I got my certification, I joined New Hanover County Fire Department. Shortly after that, that's when I got the job offer from Charlotte Fire Department, and joined their academy, finished just recently, and now I'm a Charlotte firefighter.
Much bigger city, right?
Yes, ma'am.
Bigger problems?
Yes, so with big city, bigger problems. There's more stuff going on, more violence and car accidents and stuff like that, which means more work for the fire department, so.
Yeah, just gaining different experience, I'm sure.
Yes, ma'am, it's a lot.
Did you always want to go to the big city, or was that just the opportunity to kind of move from here to that fire academy?
Yeah, it was a door that God opened up, and I just followed. It was a big step in faith for me, but with positive role models in my life, they pushed me out of here, and it's been paying off ever since. So.
Good.
So I think you mentioned something.
Yes,
so,
ma'am.
And also, we've got just a long friendship. So
yes,
I mean,
we do.
Yeah, so we might know other
12
things.
12
plus years.
Plus years.
I know.
Yeah,
and he was my roommate for 3.
Yes, ma'am.
So, but I think that one thing is interesting you touched on a little bit about your journey is that there was a time that you, quote unquote, failed, right?
Yes,
ma'am. And I think it takes a lot of courage to continue with a goal that you have, even when you have like a setback. So, can you talk a little bit about what motivated you to continue on with your dream?
Yes. Speaking on motivations, everybody, they always pat me on the back, like, I'm so proud of you, you know, you didn't quit. And that is something to be proud of, but quitting, honestly, was never an option. I never once thought of quitting. It was like, this is going to happen one way or another. So, I just stayed persistent and continued to whatever, because it was more than just failing that academy. I remember I went to another academy after that to get, so I got my EMT certifications, and then I went to go get my fire certifications. I did an academy, and I had missed, something had happened. I can't remember. I think I missed a date or I missed a test, which there was a miscommunication. The guy who was running the program, he was like, hey, you can make this test date up. And I was like, okay, cool. But then I never got a chance to make it up. So I had to start all over. So multiple setbacks. But I never once thought of quitting. It had to happen. And I think that goes for everything in life. If you put your mind to it and you don't make excuses and you say to yourself, like, hey, this is going to happen regardless. You can achieve anything. So, yeah, that's
that.
A little bit.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes, ma'am.
Well, how wonderful. First responders in general, I mean, there's just a huge deficit of people willing and able to be a first responder. So the fact that that was a goal you've had for a long time and then you went and pursued it, we're so thankful. I mean, wish more people would do that, too, because I could imagine that when people get a setback and, they just say, you know what, I'm going to move on to the next thing. But talk a little bit about specifically what you did. So it sounds like the fire academies provide a pathway to get your EMT and do all the certifications in order to, land in a job. But what are the other ways that people can go become a first responder? Like, what was that pathway that you took to become an EMT?
Okay, so different departments, different agencies achieve this different ways. So the City of Wilmington Fire Department, they have a paid academy where they'll put you through all the schooling and they'll pay you while you're schooling. So after that,
I don't know that people know that.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people don't know that. That's one of their main promotion.
And one thing that you did too, it's interesting because you probably don't remember, but he got his EMT through one of our old clients,
NCOAE.
NCOAE. Mm-hmm. So there's other private opportunities to get your EMT class.
Got my EMT through them. So could you remind me of the question?
Just like, so you went to NCOAE, which was a private way to get an EMT certification.
Yes, ma'am.
But what you're describing is, hey, like one a fire department here in southeastern North Carolina, they do like a paid academy. Mm-hmm. But other fire academies may do it differently.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so how does Charlotte do it?
Charlotte is the same way. So you'll find a pattern. If it's like an older department, these departments go back to like the 1800s, some even the 1700s. So typically older departments, they're set in stone. They have the funding and everything. They have the tradition and stuff. And they have the demand for firefighters. So it takes priority with taxpayer dollars. So Charlotte is the same way. They'll put you through an academy and pay you and put you through all of the certifications and training and everything you need to be a certified firefighter. Now, that's just the beginning. Like, those are just the classes to, so that you can have an idea once you get out there on the streets. But, you know, it's a big world out there. It's a lot to learn. They have a saying in the fire service of the moment you stop learning, you should retire. So you never stop learning, but the academy is a good way to get your foot in the door. And my previous department, New Hanover County Fire Rescue, they don't have a paid fire academy that they host on their own, but they go through the community college here. And they have an apprentice program where they'll put some people through and pay certain people. And then, not certain people, I mean, like, just, you know, selected people. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll apply for, like, a job and everything else. And then other people they'll sponsor through. They won't pay them, but they will pay for their bunker gear, their books and everything so that they can get their certifications. And at the end of the academy, if there's any job openings, they may offer them a job. So,
Once you got all your certification, then went through the program, do you like interview with different stations or different departments? Like, what does that process look like? We're so not used to that process overall.
Yeah, I cannot tell you how many interviews I've been through.
So you had to go through lots of interviews.
Yes. So with one hiring process, you have to go through multiple interviews by itself. But if you go through multiple hiring processes, you could. I got good at interviewing. I had people help me. One of my good friends, John Best, he runs an interviewing business, Water's Edge, and he helped me a ton. He helped build my confidence. And that was a part of it with the Charlotte Fire Department because they are a highly competitive fire department. I mean, people come from all over the country to work for Charlotte. And while I was applying, I didn't know that. I was just thinking like, hey, you know, my goal is to be with the City of Wilmington Fire Department. I want to eventually get back with them. But, you know, this will be a great opportunity to interview and so on and so forth. It'll be more practice. So he helped me, and then I ended up getting hired. So, that's what happened there.
So you've been there for 3-4 weeks almost. Mm-hmm. So we talk so much on this podcast just about, like, the new hire experience and what it's like to be a new employee and onboarding and training. And we know it from our perspective of working for decades. Not to age ourselves, of course. But
decades late.
But I'm really curious, you know, from you, like, what has your experience been over the last, you know, 4 weeks? Like, how do you find, you know, the culture and the environment and just
have you made
your
friends?
Training?
Are you getting
your
training?
Like, oh my gosh, so many questions. But also, like, how are you integrated? So you're brand new and these guys have been on the job for so long too.
Yes, ma'am. It's definitely the fire service itself is a unique culture. Charlotte is a lot different from any other department. And every department has their own unique culture, the way they do things, personalities and everything. Charlotte is a very traditional department, so they have a lot of traditions and stuff. You always eat together, just different things that they do. But Charlotte is also a very laid-back department. They're very busy, so, you know, they set their expectations, and, you know, you meet the expectations, and that's what it is. A lot of people, like I said, they're a highly competitive department, so... people, they come in with the mindset like, hey, I'm here ready to learn and work. I'm not going to slack off. I'm going to come here and be devoted to this job. And, you know, it's bigger than us. It's not about us. It's about the citizens. Because ultimately, what we do on and off duty affects our performance out on the fire ground and just everything else. So firefighting is, it's a lifestyle, honestly. But, yeah, getting to know the guys is funny because a traditional job, you know, working a 9-to-5, you spend a certain amount of hours with each other and you may talk to each other, you may not, but basically in the fire service, you're forced to spend 24 hours at a time with each other. So you get to know each other very quick. It took all but a shift and a half for me to get to know my guys, and we're joking with each other and just laughing. They're picking on me, I'm picking on them, but it's all love. It's all a part of the camaraderie. So yeah, it's been great. You have to learn everybody, different personalities and stuff, but it's good because it helps both on and off the job. You know, I get better with my people skills and just getting to know people. So, yeah, if that answers.
Yeah. I'm curious to, like, I'm all about, like, moving. I moved several times when I was your age, when I was young mm-hmm. in career, where I lived and then where I moved after college and moved around with my company several times before mm-hmm. the age of 30. And I just think it helps grow you, different experiences, experiencing different cities and climates and, like, just different areas. So how do you find the Charlotte different from Wilmington? And, like, what do you like? What do you don't like about okay. just living there?
Yes, yeah, ma'am. Like, just for anybody listening outside of where we are recording this, like, Wilmington's, like, an under a million person, small to mid-sized city, where Charlotte probably has I would say like two or 3 million people.
I would say almost 2 million. It's growing.
Oh okay, and it's growing. Yeah. So there's significant size difference, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And also you grew up. Town. Yeah, you grew up here your yeah. whole life. Yeah. So
People don't like to work on Fridays here. You know, no, yeah. beach town.
Yes, ma'am. I would say you mentioned friends, right? I remember in the process, Ms. Bell, she gives me so much advice. This lady has lot of wisdom. I'm serious. She's like a book of wisdom. But she was giving me advice when I was trying to decide whether I was moving or staying. And one of her big things was, she was like, oh, Jarvis, I'm so scared. You might not. It may be hard to make friends. The fire service, it made it super easy because the guys in my academy, I'm with them all the time. So, you know, we could go out on the weekends and we spend a lot of time together. So being in the fire service, it wasn't hard to make friends because you're ultimately like you walk into a group of friends whether you like it or not. I wanted to mention that. But Charlotte versus Wilmington, Charlotte is a lot different. It's bigger, it's faster. One of the bigger changes for me was just the highways, you know, the interstates going, they drive.
Yeah, heading on 74.
We don't actually like have any way direct we have roads. Ways to get anywhere.
Yeah, traffic is a hobby in Charlotte. Like you know, we would ask guys to go out on the weekends, and, like, if it's on a different side of town, you know, they're like, yeah, I'm sorry, that's, like, an hour there and back. It's not worth it. Yeah, versus here, everything is 15 minutes away. So it's like, oh, yeah, we can do this, we can do that. But if you want to do something in Charlotte, you have to plan for it. So, yeah, traffic is one thing. It's a bigger city, so it's cool. Speaking of traffic, I've noticed everything. They have every store on every side of town. So that you won't be going across town just to go to Costco's or whatever. Versus Wilmington, you know,
there's one of everything.
So yeah, that's a lot different. And yeah, it's just a bigger city. But ultimately, what it comes down to is you still gotta live. You go to work. You go to school. You have family. It's life. It's everyday life.
Yeah.
But it's a lot different. Okay. It's faster. But I'm adjusting to the pace.
Yeah. Well, this is the time to do it, you know, when you're young. I think as you get older, that's when it becomes a little bit harder to move to a new place and actually find like a circle of friends mm-hmm. as people kind of more have more established groups and different things. I think, you know, in your early and like mid to late 20s is such a good time to go and find different groups of people. And that, I mean, I have some of my closest friends are from when I like moved to those different cities.
Same with me. Yeah. I think one thing that's really interesting, cool about the fire service, maybe and other jobs could pick up on it, is that you have that training academy. Mm-hmm. So then all of a sudden you're learning the ropes of this new job, learning the city together, and you have like this camaraderie with people. And I wonder, that should be, I always think that we don't do bulk hiring a lot of the clients that I have, but for a bulk hiring, I think an academy is such a great idea.
Mm. Yes.
It is.
You know, so.
You mentioned something about, you got really good at interviewing. So for young folks listening that are like, wow, this guy's a good role model, and he mentioned a guy to go reach out to get trained on interviewing, but like, any tips that you can share with the audience about what it means to be good at interviewing?
You got to be yourself. One thing Captain Best, or John Best, one thing he told me, he was like, hey, our first probably week of like interview practice, he was like, hey, I just want to know your story. We're just having a conversation just like we're having. We're just going to have a conversation. Tell me your story. Everybody has their own unique individual story. You can't go in there cookie cutter trying to be somebody else or say the same thing that everybody else is going to say. Tell your story. Everybody, I feel like we live in a culture where everybody's trying to fit in or, you know, get on with the next hot new thing. But God made us all uniquely individual. And if everybody embraced that, I think naturally it comes out. So that was one of the big things that me and Captain Best, we worked on, just my story and who I am. And
love it.
Honestly, it helped me find who I was as a person. I'm like, oh, this is some cool stuff. I'm learning more about myself. So that would be one big tip I would give other people. Yes, ma'am.
I think that's great. Like in interviewing, the more you can talk about who you are versus what you do and what you have done, right? And we interview candidates all the time and they just give you kind of examples and situations. And I'm like, that's great. But like, who were you? Like, what role did you play and why did you play it? Like, what are the characteristics about you that made you respond to that just like kind of situational example you're giving me? So I think you learned something really valuable there.
Yes,
it's like,
ma'am.
The more you just talk about who you are, then it comes through, because I think us as employers, we want to hire the person and we can kind of teach them the what.
That's what.
And especially, yeah. But I do think though, especially for a younger person, right? So Jarvis is younger, brand new first job, and there might not be enough on the resume. So we really do want to know who you are and what traits you have that then can fold into our companies, you know? So what traits do you think are most important for young people out there to just hone in if they're not going on the college route, because you went on the work route?
Yeah, I would definitely say character over credentials. Like that's big in the fire service, because like I said, we spend 24 hours together. So, you know, you can have somebody that's like a stand-up fireman, like they can do the job. But if you don't get along with them, it's like, hey, we only fight fire maybe once a month, like, yeah, it's not worth being around you. Like, so characteristics I would say is humility. That's always my number one characteristic in everything, in every walk of life, whatever career you're pursuing, you always should be humble. You know, especially in the fire service, we see people at their most vulnerable. It's easy to judge somebody, but, you know, we're there to help them. And we could just as likely be that person that we're helping. So, humility, I would say, for anybody with anything. But, yes, any young adult looking to get out into the work world, humility would go a long way.
That's great.
Yes, ma'am.
It's awesome. I think, like, the talent pipeline of folks coming out of high school and going right into a job is extremely important, but you got to give them quick paid ways to get entry into that job. What other, like, we have C-Tech, a lot of communities have technical high schools where students can come out with a medical assistant degree or an EMT1, or, for instance, in North Carolina, they started Spark Lab, where you can come out learning to code and being a UX UI person, or, being a digital media, having digital media certifications. Like, how do you think people could support those efforts better? For instance, it shocked me that 200 and some kids apply, but only 90 kids get into our local high school that allows students to go from high school to careers. And it's like, why wouldn't we dump more taxpayer dollars into a high school like that is equipping people to just launch right into open jobs that remain vacant? Like, what can we do? What do you think we can do to support that?
Well, one thing I was just going to say, it does seem like there's a shift, at least my kids, and then Jarvis as an extension, one of my kids, but it does seem about this whole, like, taking on all this college debt. I think that when I was younger, I didn't really think of the impact of college debt, because, you know, I just wasn't in that mindset, but I think now they are. And so I was really happy in the local high schools here in Wilmington, you can go to high school and do a dual enrollment with a community college. So when you leave high school, you're leaving with a high school diploma and an associate's degree. And so that is just an amazing opportunity for whatever you end up going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you think pay for it?
No, all free.
Oh, okay. Remember, like up north, like if we were in AP classes, you had to pay.
Yeah.
And my parents were like, I'm not going to pay because I'm going to pay in college. So why am I going to pay now?
Oh, and then they also have, I mean, it's a new day in high school because it's just been so long ago, but they also, you can go and get college classes, and that's also for free.
That's crazy. And
yeah,
awesome
like
and
we,
good.
I mean, I remember like you could test out of stuff like in college, but I definitely don't remember like the reverse, like in high school being able to take. Yeah, you're right. AP definitely had those, but like college credits. Now, when I went into college, I remember, yes, I was able to test out and get auto credits for like a few advanced areas, but still.
It wasn't a 2-year degree.
But you drop. No. It's crazy because you go to high school and then you're like, oh, I leave at 10:30 and I head downtown to go to the community college. It's so different. But then you end up with 2 degrees when you're finished. I know a person that is a nurse, an RN now, who did that in high school. And they got their CNA in high school, and then they kind of went on to the community college and got their...
Well, yeah.
And they have no college debt.
Yeah, I think some of it is what you... Going back to kind of what you asked is what can we do? And I think it's having some big employers actually take on some of the responsibility and it not just be a taxpayer thing and it not just be a student debt thing, right? But it's actually an employer saying like, hey, we find value and we need more of these entry-level jobs filled quicker. We can't wait 4 years all the time for the pipeline. And maybe I would think it's like if they're taking on the college debt, well, they can certainly then take on maybe those roles that don't want or don't need a traditional 4-year degree but are much more specialized and technical. And we could like fast track that a little bit. So I don't know. There could probably be some different programs and different things. And I'm sure there's many, many companies that are already doing those types of things. I just don't know of those here.
Well, and that's the big thing. Like I got in front of a group of HR people in our community yesterday and kind of asked who knew about a handful of efforts going on in our community and almost no one raised their hand. And these are talent leaders. And I'm like, y'all need to start to get involved and stop being a passenger to the process and letting the world happen to you as HR folks.
Right.
And start getting involved in like just showing up to public policy meetings or going and visiting like our local technical college and meeting with the continuing ed folks at Cape Fear Community or getting to know Dr. Faust and his principals and doing principal for a day shadowing. Like you have to make those connections. And just because someone's not knocking your door down, like, we have to get involved. Like as HR people, we have to get involved. And
also if we,
and we lay it back and educate our business leaders that are our counterparts.
Right. Because if we are all about, we are pro work, well then why not take this huge pool of folks who want to work?
Yeah.
Because I think we have this bias. Oh, well they have to have this degree to do this work. But really, do they? Oftentimes not.
Often we talk about that, I mean, all the time. And that's her, you're right. I mean, yes, I think HR folks have got to get a little more involved in kind of mentoring through some of those, you know, involved at the community college, involved at the university, you know, where in the high school level, all of it. But I think we've got to do our parts with the company too,
yeah,
right? Company. And like remove some of the barriers.
Yeah. People just don't know. And there's lots of good things happening in every community probably. And certainly in Wilmington, there's a lot of cool things happening. There's 3 different collaborations, which are pretty unique. So we've got a healthcare collaborative with like the hospital system, the main physician group in town, nursing homes, rehab centers, like, I mean, just probably, I think there's something like 300 different employers involved in them, as well as we've got a tech collaborative with like 50 tech companies in town that are trying to noodle together and create not just talent pipelines for the short-term needs, like our job vacancies now, but like, what are we going to have in 5 years as this community continues to grow? And then also there's a manufacturing partnership too. So it's when people come together and have one collective voice for the education systems, even starting as early as middle school and high school, community college, universities, like that is a powerful thing. And so often, like we just compete with each other for talent. And so it'd be nice
if we could all play in a sandbox well together. And so that's just something to look into, different models. But if you're interested and you're listening, like Wilmington, North Carolina has a couple of cool models that are pretty unique and are working well to fill short-term talent gaps as well as being strategic about filling long-term gaps. Mm-hmm. And healthcare is really important. I mean, mm-hmm. you're a first responder. It's like we need firefighters, we need police officers, we need nurses.
EMTs.
And we need EMTs and paramedics. So,
huge.
Yeah, it's going to be good.
You have some job security there, Jarvis.
Yes. Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yes. Well, you're going to do awesome.
We hope to see you back in Wilmington one characters. Day.
Yeah, I know. Yes. I was kind of like, how
but
do we
I
lose
want
this
you to
guy?
Enjoy the big city and like live a great life experience.
And then come
first.
Back to the small town.
Yes, we need you. We need you. We're growing and we're definitely going to need you. You can be in charge someday, which would be really cool to see. Okay, so Charlotte Lit. Tell me about Charlotte.
That could be a new like slogan for their town. Instagram? Charlotte.
Yeah. Oh my. Okay, so I'm an outcast. I don't know if Ms. Beth tells you I don't do any social media.
Oh, that's good.
But I do know about
Charlotte.
Yeah. So that was it. Wow, I can't believe you said that. That's funny. That was a joke in our academy. They were just randomly like Charlotte Lit. But yeah. So. I guess it's an Instagram page where they post stuff that's going on around
just
the city.
Just the craziest stuff in Charlotte.
You should get on social media, Jarvis.
I Googled the Instagram page, and I'm like, God, how am I going to raise my family here? Like, I need some answers now. Like, yeah,
we want
but,
you to stay off that page unless you're responding to
I'm
one
serious,
of the problems.
I'm talking about job security.
You
right?
should only it's be that, there in there. Response
no
to the page.
I want you to follow it so you come back to Wilmington.
Oh, my. Yeah, Charlotte Lit. Charlotte. Yep.
That's so funny. Yeah. Jarvis.
It's a crazy Instagram. Go check it out.
It is.
What about, Miss Beth told us that you are a budding musician. So
I was
going
to say, what else do we need
time?
To know about you?
Oh, yes. I'm a drummer. I've been drumming since I was a little kid. It's funny. I've always wanted to drum and be a firefighter, and I'm still, you know,
doing
glory to God, I'm doing
things.
Those things
You're beating
today.
Your drum.
Yeah, I'm beating my drum. So, yes, actually right now I play in a storage unit. So I live in an apartment, and obviously you can't, drums are extremely loud. Like, they're extremely loud.
Really? Tell me about it. I have no idea.
My drums in her house, and it was the craziest thing ever. I'm like, this lady really loves me, but, yeah, it's super loud. But, yeah, so I rent out a storage unit. And it's super creepy. People are living in there, and they're not supposed to be living in there.
Charlotte Lit.
So I'm banging my drums, and they echo. I had an incident with this guy the other day, and basically, I guess I hit my drum too loud, and it made his wife fall down.
They're sleeping there?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm like, well, you know,
you're not supposed to be living here.
Yeah. Hey, you know, if you be nice to me, I'll be nice to
you.
Right.
I won't report you. You don't report me.
Yes, but I'm a drummer. I'm also very passionate about working out as well. So I work out on my free time, and other than that, it's family, which is hard being away from them. But you know, it's worth it. I figured, like, you know, if I can move and step outside my comfort zone, I can be an inspiration to other people in my family and my loved ones.
That is
to
awesome.
Step outside their comfort zone. Yes, ma'am. And it gives me a chance to build character as well. So although I love my family, I figure the more I can grow and be the best version of myself, you know, the more I can give back to them. So, yeah, those are my hobbies. Those are my hobbies.
Aww. I love you, Jarvis.
I know. I was like, I think that's such a great place to end it, right?
Yeah, perfect way to end
awesome
it.
Awesome role model for young folks. And how do they find you if they want to ask you questions? You're not on social media. Like, how do young people go and ask for your mentorship and ask you any follow-up questions?
I don't know. That's a great question. Email,
they
possibly.
They can message
my
Beth and she'll connect.
Yeah, I know. I'll be like, how about we do that?
Talk to Miss Beth on the HR team.
Yeah.
Seriously,
she'll
I'll
screen you
up.
Information.
I can
yes.
you
she'll
up.
Screen you first.
Creepers.
Decide if you're worthy.
Yeah. No creepers for Jarvis.
What about sharing? I know that it's just a proud moment, but why don't you share the YouTube channel where your firefighting is?
Yeah, there's a video, a firefighter focus, Charlotte Fire Department. They have a always get around PIO, Public Information Officer. He's in charge of the Instagram page and just getting information out to the public. So he does a great job, and surprisingly, he shoots it. If y'all check out their Instagram, it's some good work. He shoots it all off his iPhone. But yeah, he did a short interview of me, just asking a little bit about me and my background and where I'm from. So yeah, you can find that on Charlotte's Instagram, or I can Charlotte Fire's Instagram, or I can send a link.
We can link it.
Yeah, we'll link that one. That's absolutely awesome.
Yes, ma'am.
Any other closing thoughts or comments for Jarvis?
No, we're so excited that you came to visit Beth for the day, the weekend. Mm-hmm. I don't know how long you're here, but it was nice to, we've heard about you for years. So it's nice to finally see you, meet you, talk to you.
Well, I appreciate that. Hopefully I can live up to the hype that she
You do. You well live up to the hype.
Thank you. Jarvis Litt. Okay.
Yeah, Jarlitt.
Jarlitt. All right, Jarvis, thanks so much. And thanks for tuning in. If you're watching us on YouTube, thanks for watching. Make sure you share, like on all our social media, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.